You're with us for the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Employer Survey is a snapshot of where employers are at on a number of economic issues. The survey is done twice a year by the state's largest business lobby, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is here with initial findings from their new survey. Join in on economic indicators, supply chain, inflation, what policies most affect the business climate in our state. 800-642-1234. Scott Manley is Executive Vice President of Government Relations at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Scott, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me, and good morning, Kate, and good morning to your listeners.
Good morning. WMC still compiling responses from your latest employer survey, and I understand. How has the response been to this survey compared to past ones?
Well, it's been a robust response. I think a lot of the economic questions that we typically ask in this survey, and we've been doing this survey for many years. I think a lot of these questions, Kate, are top of mind for businesses. And what we're finding, unfortunately, is that since the last survey we did 6 months ago, we're seeing a noticeable drop in optimism in terms of how employers view Wisconsin's economy and how they view the U.S. economy as well.
That drop in optimism could be attributed to a number of things. We're seeing the high inflation being one of them. What issues were top of mind and most pressing for Wisconsin companies in the survey?
Well, it starts with the problem that they've been having for years now, and that's finding talent. 87% of employers said that they're having trouble hiring workers. It was 88% in the same survey 6 months ago. So we really haven't seen much improvement there. And of course, if you're an employer and you can't find workers, that creates all kinds of problems. Inflation is also a significant issue. When we ask the question about how much business costs have increased for things like raw materials and so forth, last winter, 47% of employers said that their costs had increased by 10%, so a little bit less than half. In this survey now, almost two-thirds, 65% of employers have said that their costs have increased by at least 10%. And in those manufacturing industries that involve metals, whether it's sheet metal or metal for making castings, a lot of those raw material costs, Kate, have increased by 100% or more. The metals industry is getting hit very hard. And so in many instances, these types of cost increases that employers are seeing for their raw materials haven't even been passed along to consumers yet. So unfortunately, as we look forward and what we might see with inflation, we may see, we may be on course for some continued long-term inflation, unfortunately.
On the issue of inflation rate reached 8.6% in May, highest level in more than 40 years. But we're also seeing CEO pay in our country hit a record high last year. What are your members feeling about the majority of workers out there who have facing higher price inflation now, eroding, the real value of what they earn? What does your survey say about that?
Well, we've seen wages go up. Both in the survey that we did in the winter and the survey that we did now for workers, by percentage increases that, frankly, we've never seen before. So we've got employers that are raising wages far beyond what they typically have, and in very, very specifically, what we're seeing now are employers who say that the vast majority of them are going to be raising wages more than 4%. And that's remarkable, because it's wage increases have typically been in the range of 1 to 3%. Unfortunately, as you said, with inflation being what it is, inflation either entirely wipes out those wage increases, or takes workers going backwards so that you might be looking at a 6% wage increase against an 8% increase in inflation. You're actually worse off than you were. And that's why so many economists refer to inflation as the cruelest tax, because it's really it has a negative impact on take home pay and really what families can afford.
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment. Scott Manley with us talking about the latest employer survey from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They do a couple of these surveys each year and test what it is like out there for businesses in Wisconsin. You can join in with what your company is facing in these times. 800-642-1234. Scott, earlier this year, your survey found companies were offering things like signing bonuses, more flexibility for their workers, among the higher wages, among other strategies to attract and retain their workforce. Do you think these are the types of tactics that are here for a while? Are they going away?
I think that we are going to continue to see wage increases for the foreseeable future. I think we are going to continue to see employers offering more flexibility to their workers in terms of the hours that are worked. For example, scheduling around daycare schedules and so forth. We will continue to see, where possible, employers allowing workers to work remotely and giving them that flexibility. That's very tough, obviously, in sectors like manufacturing and construction, where you literally have to be present in order to do the work. But yes, I think that a lot of what we are seeing from employers in terms of these tactics to try and make for a more friendly workplace and a better culture for their employees and so forth, I think that those are all long-term impacts.
Can you pinpoint, because, manufacturing is very, very broad, can you pinpoint any areas in industries within manufacturing that are desperately in need of the most workers?
Well, it's really every sector of manufacturing that I will say that welders, for example, are in incredibly high demand. Machinists and CNC machine operators are in very, very high demand. I think it's important to remember that Wisconsin is a national leader in manufacturing. We have more manufacturing jobs per capita in Wisconsin than any other state in the country. So it's the largest sector of our economy, and it's the sector that happens to pay the most. So we have these incredible, well-paying, family-supporting jobs that are really not even jobs, they're careers. Fantastic opportunities. We just need to get that word out and spread the word so that more high school kids who are graduating and thinking about what they want to do for a long-term career are understanding that they can do very, very well and have a very, well-paying middle-class job with great benefits, great health care, great 401k in the manufacturing sector.
You mentioned the youth and manufacturing. Governor Evers had announced $6.6 million in funding for youth apprenticeship opportunities, job training, upskilling in advanced manufacturing. What do you hope this funding would accomplish?
Well, we hope it accomplishes several things. And to be clear, WMC is a strong supporter of the apprenticeship program in Wisconsin and youth apprenticeships in particular. Hopefully, we do two things. Number one, we get more kids exposed to these types of careers. I think, as I just mentioned, a lack of awareness is a huge problem. So many kids, because of the way we've sort of structured our academic counseling in high school, so many kids think that the only opportunity for economic success is to go to a four-year college. And we definitely need kids to do that, but there's so many other opportunities. So if we can get some kids exposed to these types of careers in manufacturing and the construction trades through apprenticeships, that's huge. The other thing is just being able to upskill those kids and have them career ready by the time they graduate. The studies, the data are very clear that if you are engaged in a youth apprenticeship, you are, you know, almost have a 100% chance of getting a job offer for the type of job that will allow you to have a family supporting job. And that's really important. It's important to the kids. It's important, you know, because they're going to be on the right track financially and career wise. But it's important for employers too, because now they've got some additional talent that they have in their workplace that they can develop, and so it's really a win-win.
We've heard that businesses really want a talent attraction campaign, more marketing to help the worker shortage and attracting people from out of state or with even within Wisconsin. But we've been talking with CEOs on our show and hear consistently that workforce housing is a huge issue. That's a huge barrier with employment. So what are you seeing there with those tensions of trying to attract people into the state to go fill these jobs, and yet housing remains such a huge issue?
Yeah, it's sort of one of those chicken or egg issues. Is the housing not being built because the workers aren't coming here? Or is it, if you build it, they will come? And I don't think that there's a clear answer there. I will say that, especially in rural areas, housing for workforce purposes is in short supply. And one of the barriers is that because land prices are considerably lower in rural Wisconsin as opposed to the Madison area or the Milwaukee area, it's less profitable for developers to go into rural parts of the state and build housing developments. They can maximize their return on investment by building in large urban or suburban areas. And so that is a real problem. And we have to figure out how we can solve that issue and make it more enticing for builders and developers to go into areas like Arcadia, Wisconsin, where we've got the world's largest furniture manufacturer, or into north central Wisconsin or northwestern Wisconsin, where we've got some just tremendous career opportunities in the manufacturing sector. But we just can't bring workers in because we don't have the housing. The other piece of that I think is a problem, Kate, is the construction trades are having just as much difficulty as the manufacturing sector and every other industry in finding workers. So if we don't get kids involved in the construction trades and start bringing up the next generation of construction workers as the current generation is retiring and leaving the workforce, we're not going to have anybody to build the workforce houses. And that's a problem, too.
Scott Manley, Executive Vice President at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, unpacking the new employer survey and the challenges out there in the business climate. Join in on the state of business and industry in Wisconsin, what policies, what grants have helped your business grow in these times. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We are unpacking the Summer Wisconsin Employer Survey from WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Executive Vice President Scott Manley is sharing preliminary findings from that survey. One thing that jumps out, Nearly 90% of employers say they're having trouble hiring workers, about the same from their winter survey response. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. WMC Scott Manley with us for about 9 more minutes. As I said earlier, we've been making this concerted effort to talk directly with CEOs of Wisconsin-headquartered major companies that have been rooted here a long time. And, you know, Scott, we've also been looking at the infrastructure needs here in Wisconsin in the wake of the infrastructure law, $79 million coming to Wisconsin over 5 years. What do manufacturers tell you are their greatest needs infrastructure-wise to help their businesses grow?
Well, I think the biggest thing that manufacturers need is reliable and affordable energy. And that's a huge concern. Obviously, we've had news reports, I'm sure you're very aware of them, Kate, that the Midwest system operator that operates our electric grid has said that Wisconsin and the northern part of middle America is susceptible to potential power outages. Rolling blackouts or brownouts, that would be devastating for the manufacturing sector. You can't make products and get them to the marketplace without reliable and affordable energy. So we need to make sure that we have the energy infrastructure in place to deliver that energy both to homeowners and businesses. And unfortunately, what we've been seeing with energy is huge price spikes. And that's energy that takes the form of electricity that manufacturers use in their plants. It's the lifeblood of manufacturing. Electricity and energy is. And if we're paying more for energy in Wisconsin than our counterparts are paying in other states or other countries, that's a competitiveness problem for us. But we're also seeing it in terms of transportation energy. And so the price of gasoline, the price of diesel has gone up, and all of us are feeling that. But for manufacturers, and they have long-term contracts to be the supplier for their customers, oftentimes they're locked into certain price points for delivering their goods. And so they're really getting hurt. The high cost of electricity and the high cost of diesel, they're not able to recover a lot of those high costs because they're locked into contracts, and it's really hurting the manufacturing sector right now. And we need to change our energy policies to reflect that competitiveness concern.
How might expanded use of power sources, green energy like wind and solar, affect the manufacturing industry?
Well, I think that if we're smart, we want to have an all-of-the-above energy policy, and that includes wind and solar. I think that wind and solar absolutely should be part of the mix. Unfortunately, I think we've got some politicians who say we should only have wind and solar, and we should get rid of coal-fired electricity, and we should get rid of natural gas, and we should get rid of gasoline. I think that's an incredibly unrealistic and short-sighted energy policy, and frankly, it's why we're seeing ourselves in the situation we're in right now, because ultimately that's a strategy for energy scarcity. And when you have scarcity of something and demand stays the same, prices go up. And that's exactly what's happening. The reason gas prices are so high is because we have energy policies that say we don't want to use fossil fuels. Well, gasoline is a fossil fuel.
But I wonder, do you survey your businesses on climate change and their sustainability goals?
Well, I think sustainability goals are great, and a lot of our members have very explicit sustainability goals. But part of sustainability is actually remaining in business, and it's going to be really difficult to stay in business if we continue to deal with double-digit energy price increases in Wisconsin. And, I think we need to be realistic. Look, wind and solar are intermittent sources of energy, meaning that they're not always on. They're only producing electricity if the wind is blowing or the sun is shining. And you can't just say, we're going to take all of the fossil fuels, which are very reliable and will produce energy 24 hours a day, and completely replace them with energy sources like wind and solar that are only on some hours of the day. It just doesn't work. We got to find a balance, and right now we don't have energy policies that are seeking to find that balance. We have energy policies like the one that President Biden and Governor Evers are in favor of, that say we got to switch everything to wind and solar.
Let's just pause right here, take a quick question from Jane in Suamico. Jane, hi, you're on with Scott Manley of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce.
Hello. Unions used to have training programs and apprenticeship programs. It feels like the undermining of unions that's happened over the last 10 years has removed opportunities for young people to learn on the job. It also caused Wisconsin taxpayers to pay for technical college expansions instead of businesses paying for training themselves.
And
I'd
Jane,
like his comments.
Yes, thank you, Jane. We're short on time. Scott, go ahead.
I will just say that unions continue to do an awful lot of training, especially the operating engineers, the carpenters union. They have extensive training programs where they teach young people how to operate heavy machinery and how to engage in the building construction trades. So I would disagree with the comment that just because we have fewer union members in Wisconsin today than we did 10 years ago, that we have less training. That's simply not the case.
Scott, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Manley, Executive Vice President of Government Relations with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Just ahead, the WASA School Board and others around Wisconsin are at odds over how to teach sex education, and we'll look into that. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.